Good evening and welcome to Mic Up with Samia. I am Samia, your host, and it is an honor for me to have a special person tonight with me. I have a composer, songwriter, lyricist, performing artist, and song arranger. He is the youngest son of Wilmot and Dorothy Fredericks of the award-winning South African gospel group, Christian Explainers. He is also a full-time student at the University of Western Cape, studying towards a degree in commerce. Mr. Byron Levi Fredericks is a songwriter in his own right, but also an artist of note. He plays the acoustic guitar and is also accompanied by six backing vocals and a seven-piece band. In October 2018, his well-known song Yahweh was released on YouTube as the official lyrics video and was sung also by a church in the United States of America, Kingdom Life Ministries. This young man is making waves and changing lives by walking in the favor of God. Mm. Welcome, Mr. Byron Levi.
Good evening.
Thank you for taking time out to be with us this evening. I know you're extremely busy, but thank you so much for being here with us. So we're going to jump right into the interview.
Yes, let's do that.
How are you doing? Just so by the way.
I'm great, man. I'm highly favored. I'm blessed. I am tired because I'm so busy. But ultimately, I am doing well. Today was a great day.
Awesome.
Yesterday was a great day. Tomorrow will be a great day.
Indeed.
Because I serve a good God and a great God, and He watches over me. So
amen.
I'm doing fine. Amidst it all, I'm doing okay.
Yes, you're doing like victory.
Yeah.
Very victorious right now. Jumping into the interview, what drew you to the music industry?
So I grew up in a house where music was the canvas from which we operated. You know, my parents were in music for the most part of their lives, up to 40 years. So I've been introduced to it. I've been exposed to it at a very young age. But I started engaging with music at the age of 7 when I started playing the guitar at the age of 7. And just the emotional response, psychological response, even the spiritual response at a much more later age in terms of me understanding it really drew me to the industry, because music had a great impact positively in my life. It made me see life differently, see things differently.
Yes.
I saw music as a medium to change lives of those I encounter in a positive way, and hence the reason I was drawn to the industry to really inject the positivity that music had to me first. And so it spoke to me. Now I wanted to speak in and through me into the industry, and hopefully filter through the lives of individuals that encounter our engagements, and you know, ultimately through conversation and through music.
Indeed,
you know, using the music as the medium through which I ultimately want to influence your life positively.
Yes.
So that's in a nutshell, that's what drove me to the industry.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, if you ask somebody that question, you don't normally get that response.
Yeah.
So that is powerful for me. Mm. Who inspires you?
Within this context of music, and in the context of music, my dad. Really, my father is my mentor. He's my number one guy.
Wow.
Because he understands what it is to be a minister. So, because it's been his life, he inspires me, because he taught me to recognize what you have, understand what you have, know what you have, and share what you have.
Yes.
But before you share it, of course, cultivate what you have, work what you have, and then share what you have. And then in life, general life, so many role models, people that inspire me.
Yes.
Like the man on the street inspires me because he's alive, and because he has life, he's one opportunity for him to change, and for me just to honor the life within him, you know, as an inspiration, and shows me that God still loves everyone. And just for mere fact that he's still standing is an inspiration to me, you know. And then There's another character that influenced me is people like Todd Delay, Nikai Mtetwa, you know, Pastor Gerald Adams, you know. So I have an array of people that inspire me, but it's all centered around the life inside of them.
Wow.
I'm inspired by the life inside of you. I'm inspired by the fact that you're still standing. I'm inspired by the fact that you're still alive. You're breathing.
Yes.
And you've been through many things that people don't know, because it's very surface. I mean, it's very oppressed in a sense, not surface, but you're still making it. You're still smiling. Mm-hmm. You're still here. You know.
Every day. Yeah.
So for me, the fact that you're alive, it indicates to me that God is living, and it's proof that if I'm alive today, I have an opportunity to make my tomorrow work in my favor.
Amen, amen. Oh, you're going to get me started now. Please explain to me what your creative process is when you are writing your music.
So my creative process is really influenced by my life experiences. All of the songs, most of the songs I write is based on my life experiences. Things I go through. My walk with Christ. You know, spending time with him. Staying in the vine, John 15. That secret place. Staying in the cliff of the rock. So my creative process is really predetermined by my relationship with God. You know, it stems from that, you know. And also my life experience. Whether it be the high points or the low points of my life. My creative process ultimately comes from that place, you know. My walk with God, the center of it, and everything stems from there.
Man, you're inspiring me right now. Really. I know you play the acoustic guitar. A little birdie told me you play something else.
Yes.
What is it?
I'm actually a drum player. I started playing drums. You know, Christian explainers used to rehearse at the house, and I used to take the forks and I used to hit on the, you know, on the settee and the cupboards, you know. So I'm a drum player from a primary perspective. And I started with the guitar at the age of 7, 12. Really more predominantly with the guitar, and then I play bass a bit and then piano as well. So I'm a bit of. But drums and acoustic guitar, that's my forte. That's what I understand.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
So, what do you play on a regular, though?
Oh, at the moment at church, because I'm the worship leader, I play acoustic.
Acoustic.
But I wish for the day the drum is sick that I just want to lead worship and just go play drums. That's what I always pray for, like, Lord, just make this guy.
Don't pray flu, sickness.
Just flu for at least for just the Sunday morning, for 3 hours. You know?
Poor guy. maybe you should do something.
I should, in terms of drum playing.
I definitely
have to.
Going in for story of a worshiper.
Exactly. Yes.
Is there a hidden meaning in any of your music? Like, I know you've explained where the music comes from, what inspires you to write. But do you write with, you know, when songs are written, they'll have like a love song because you broke my heart or whatever, whatever. So do you write with that in mind? Is there something like that happens and then you write a song?
Yes. Every song I write has a particular meaning, you know, because I write love songs and I write gospel songs. So I'll speak from the gospel side of things, from the Christian side of things. So every gospel song I write, really, I want to depict a character of God. I want to present the character of God.
Yes.
A song I wrote that says waiting, you know. A song that speaks about the prodigal son and how we run away from God, but God never leaves us. And how we never always... and God spoke to me very powerfully about this. How we never run away from him, but we always running towards him. Because wherever the prodigal son found himself, he was covered by grace. He was received well, but he was covered because God was waiting for him. Whether it was in the pigsty, whether it was in the club with the girls,
God was with him.
God was always with him. So we serve a God that's waiting for us. He's all knowing God. So every song I write, you know, really depicts a particular character of God. But ultimately, when it comes to the gospel side of things, I want people to be attracted to God through the song. So when they hear the song, they mustn't be attracted to me. I fade away immediately. And they must be attracted to the Lord ultimately. You know, so that's what it's about. And when it comes to love songs, it's basically when I have a beautiful girlfriend.
You do.
So God is love. Yes. So definitely when I'm with her and she makes me feel a kind of way, you know, I write that song to show my appreciation, because that's how I feel from an emotional perspective, you know. And I'm a songwriter, my creativity kicks in naturally, and I just say what my soul is saying, what my heart is saying, but I put it in words, in a melody, and articulate it in that particular way. So I hope I answered the question.
You did. That is a gift.
Yeah.
Do you collaborate with others?
Yes, I do.
And what is your process when you do that? Do you write a song for someone specific?
It depends on the collaboration, you know. Depends on what it's about. So many times I wrote songs for someone, or we did a concert together, like myself and Swifty, Joshua and Spencer a few years back. But currently I've been writing songs for people, so they come to me and they're like, and write a song. Cool, let's sit, let's have a meeting, let's discuss. I ask, who are you? I want to know who you are, etc. Because I need to understand who I'm writing for, so that I am intact with and I'm in line with your identity as an individual. So I do collaborate with people.
Awesome.
I do.
That's great. What is your favorite part of this line of work?
It is really, ultimately, it's when people enjoy the presence of the Lord. When I'm on stage and I had a bad week, I had a bad month, and I'm ministering, for example, on a Sunday morning at church, and emotionally I don't want to be there, psychologically I don't want to be there, but then God works through me, and people through a broken vessel can enjoy His presence. And for me, that is ultimately when people are attracted to God and they engage in His presence.
Indeed.
And the glory of the Lord comes and He begins to move.
Yeah.
That for me is ultimately something that I appreciate so much.
Because at the end of the day, it's not about us.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's about us just being a vessel
for
what God wants to move.
Yeah.
And then taking, being the Levite and taking the church behind the veil, of course.
Exactly. Amen.
Have you ever dealt with performance anxiety?
Yes. I mean, every time I go, before I go on stage, I'm like, oh my God. Oh, I'm nervous. I drink a lot of water. I'm like, oh geez, my God. I'm praying. Because I know it's not, I know that this is big. This is beyond me. I know that this is God. I'm the Levite. I'm connecting them with His presence. I'm like, and they need to engage. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm always nervous. Also nerve-wracking experience. Every time.
How do you deal with it?
I just pray. I pray, and at times I just become still and like, you know what?
Yes.
God, you're in control. Because at the time when God says, are you a bit too anxious? Is that about you? So you're like,
Yeah. Like, what's going on with you? It's about me.
It's about me, you know?
Yeah,
so.
You have Story of a Worshipper happening soon.
Yes.
We'll give the details soon. Why have you decided to do this?
God gave me this concept about a year ago after I lost my brother to... they murdered him. They brutally shot him dead in the road.
Wow.
And God spoke to me after dealing with so much pain and so much mourning. Because I'm soul burdened. I want to influence the lives of people I engage with. So God said, listen, after... And I'm still healing, but I'm a bit more strong in my process. So God told me, you know what, son? I want you, I see your heart, and you're in line with what I want from you, but now I'm taking you deeper. I want you to show people your scars. I want you to show people your shortcomings. I want you to show them where you fall short. And I want you to show them your wounds, but don't just show them your wounds. Show them the one that delivered you. Show them the one that restored you. Show them the times you left away, but I kept on pursuing
Come
you.
On.
Showing that kind. Become on. Vulnerable so that I can take over. Become naked so that I can dress you with my presence.
Jesus.
Present that to them. Present your hurt. Present your brokenness, because He says, I'm close to those that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He says, so live my word, apply my word. A part of applying Psalm 51:17, which
Come
is
on,
my
now.
Worship, where my worship stems from, is to present my brokenness to people and say, He's a God of fragments.
Yes.
He's a God of the broken.
Yes.
And if you're broken, it's fine. He puts you together.
He
so
you
ultimately, that was the, it was something that was that came up inside of me.
Mm.
It was not something that I was thinking about, something that came to me.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, you want me to do this? You want me to be this vulnerable?
Yeah.
He says, that's what I want you to do, my son. And now, and that's what I'm going to do, man.
Yo,
I'm sharing my testimony and be extremely raw about it.
Man, we're looking forward to it.
Man.
We are so excited about it. Last question. What advice would you have for someone wanting to follow in your footsteps?
Know whose you are. John 15, say in the mind, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Mm.
Pursue a personal relationship with Him.
Yes.
You cannot go into any field of career or ministry if you don't know who you are or that whose you are. Because if you know whose you are, you know who you are.
Yes.
You know, if I know who holds my hand, you know, someone says the Lord, I heard a friend of mine speaking about, you know, we spoke about Tiger Woods and we spoke about Rafael Nadal, and I was like, these guys are brilliant. I was like, a tennis racket in Byron Levi's hand is just a tennis racket, but a tennis racket in the hand of Rafael Nadal makes him a champion. A golf stick in Tiger Woods' hand is just a golf stick. I mean, in Byron Levi's hand, it's just a golf stick, but in Tiger Woods' hand, it makes him one of the most accomplished sports person in the world. So, who holds your life? Who holds your hand? Who holds you? Who controls you? Who is your God? Who do you worship? That is where, if you know that place, if you get into the vine, if you get into this is who He is, and pursue the secret place, pursue the cliff of the rock, He will begin to show His mysteries, to show His plan. He tells Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb.
Mm.
So before you were in the womb, there was a place you already existed.
Come on now.
And that was with God, you
Come
know.
On now.
Your parents were just a vehicle through which you are birthed into the earth.
Yes.
So for you to achieve that which was predestined already, you know. So ultimately, I said a lot of things, but this is the crux of the matter. Know who you are. Spend time with the Lord, pursue the secret place, pursue the secret place, pursue the vine. You will chisel, cut away the branches that aren't producing fruit. And from that point, from that place, when you have, you begin to have confidence in Him because you are conscious of who He is in you, and you can then He can operate in and through you because you are aware of His presence. In Psalms, David says you have to recognize the presence of the Lord, because I can't pursue what I don't recognize. It doesn't make sense. If I want to pursue something, I must recognize it first. Mm-hmm. So recognize His presence in your life, so that you can commune with Him, that you can get closer with Him. And once you are close with Him, you can walk deeper with Him and know His mysteries. And from that point, life becomes all the worth more living, because then you transcend to a different level of consciousness, spiritual, emotional. Indeed. So I hope I'm answering the question.
Dude, you're taking me to church and I love it. I love it. Thank you, Lord. Byron?
Yeah.
I know we caught you at rehearsal.
Yes.
And I know you have a lot to do.
Yes.
But we're going to finish up this interview.
Yep.
I know the listeners are very excited to know what Flash Fives are.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Flash Fives with you. You don't know about this.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So this is Samir's Flash Five. Cool. It is literally five questions that you answer in a flash.
Okay.
So when you're ready.
I'm.
Here we go. Your favorite color?
Red.
Favorite animal?
Dog.
What are you afraid of?
Cats.
Really?
Yo, bro.
Favorite food?
Favorite food, pasta.
Soccer team you support?
Liverpool. You never walk alone.
You never.
I mean, and it's so biblical. You never walk alone. It's omnipresent.
I think we just need to open up that concert.
Cool, man.
But you never walk alone.
Yeah.
Man, we're so excited about Story of a Worshipper.
Yes, yes.
Thank you so much for taking time out.
Thank you for having me.
Tonight, we're just going to hand you over to your team, who is waiting for you.
Thank you so much.
But before we go, Cape Town, let's take time out to support this young man on the 17th of November. Tickets are selling at the cost of 100 rand.
Yes.
They're selling at CompuTicket and via Brandon Sinclair, which is, you can contact him on 072 904-5939.
Yeah.
And then also, I've seen that some featured guest has been announced.
Yes.
Your dad, which I know as Uncle Walmart.
Yes, yes.
He'll be there. Veronica Mayer, Minister Veronica Mayer. Lindsay Corbin and the saxophonist Larry George.
Yes,
is there any other surprises coming up?
These guys actually did a cover of Yahweh about a month ago. I was like, okay, this is great. Geneva, Jeremiah Sweets and Geneva.
Yes, I saw
They're known as Jeremiah and Geneva.
Yes.
So they'll be here as well. We'll do an acoustic set just to break the program intimately. So it's great. I'm excited, eh?
Man, we're excited. I'm here.
Yep.
We're all going to be here to worship with you, because it's the Story of a Worshipper.
Yes.
And we are extremely excited. Guys, if you really want to get in contact with Byron, you can like his page on Facebook.
Please do.
And tickets are selling very fast. Yes. Very, very fast. I mean, after this this interview is, I don't think we'll have any tickets left. So we're excited to be with you on the 17th. We'll be praying you through.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much
for taking time out to
be
with
us,
Byron.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you.